Buongiorno. Good morning and welcome. Look at that. It's exactly 9 o'clock on the 26th of August. A beautiful Thursday?
Yeah, pizza.
Today's Thursday night. That's right. Pizza. Hello.
Kind of a little heat wave going on, too.
Not too bad, but summer's hanging in. I like it.
I know. It's nice.
Makes the garden grow really well.
It's been a long time since we podcasted.
We have been slackers in the podcast area for the last 3 weeks.
I think so. We skipped one or have been horrible.
So here we go. We'll give you guys a good one this week and hopefully answer some of your questions and
give some updates.
Give some updates on what's going on. So, already 10 days ago was Ferragosto. Ferragosto, the Italian holidays, it's on August 15th every year. It may have related to the celebration of the middle of the summer and the end of the labor in the fields. The Catholic Church celebrates this as the Holy Day of Obligation, and it commemorates the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. But basically, it's a day off.
No, but its roots go all the way back to
the Romans. So talk about the Romans.
So it was originally a festival holiday to celebrate the Emperor Augustus. And even all the way back then, Italians needed to take the entire month off. So this is when a lot of Italians go on vacation.
Yes, the autostradas have been packed.
Yes, but to go back to Ferragosto, it's kind of a feast day, if you will. People go over to each other's houses or out to the country if you're from the sea, or to the sea if you're from the country, and you have like a big lunch or dinner with your friends and family.
Yeah. This year it fell on Sunday, so it felt kind of just like a chip a little bit.
I guess, but we decided to keep it kind of intimate. Last year we had over 100 people here, and this year we decided to keep it small with about 35 or so.
Yeah, 35 people. I got a half a porchetta, and I've talked about porchetta tons of times. The whole pig was stuffed with the fennel and the rosemary, and they roasted on the spitfire. I got that. We did panzanella salad. We did verdure gratinata, which are the zucchini and peppers and onions and tomatoes.
Onions are the best.
With breadcrumbs over the top of them in the oven, which go really well. What else did we make?
The potato casserole.
The garden casserole. So you just make a casserole. You make layers of potatoes and zucchini and tomato, whatever you want from the garden, with a little bit of fresh herbs and garlic in between each layer and salt and pepper.
Lots of olive oil
over the top, and throw it into the oven and bake it for like an hour.
It's good.
It's awesome.
Warm.
It's good. I like it. Room temperature.
Yeah.
So it went very well. Everyone had a good time.
We had guests from all over the world. It was so cool. People from Japan to Ireland, Italians, Americans.
Brits,
Dutch. It was really cool.
Quite.
French, Belgium.
Yep. That is right. Oh, and along with Ferragosto, the last 2 weeks of August are the Knights of Stella Cadente, the Falling Shooting Stars. And you can see the shooting stars right now we read that it's best in the before dawn hours, but...
But it was more active, I thought, around Ferragosto.
Around that particular day?
Yeah, or like the 15th around
the week. Through that week?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay, well, I'm talking out of my ass.
And also, the couple days before Ferragosto, so I guess it would have been, oh my god, like 3 weeks ago today, or 2 weeks ago, we had a huge epic pizza night. 50 freaking guests. It was incredible. The most we've ever done for pizza. We had the Fire of Apecchio, the folk band come, and the tambourine man. It was so much fun. They played and sang in between pizza and sausages, and Jason made a ton of dough. The most you've ever made.
It all went well. Sean and Linda, who are visiting from Seattle, helped out, and we got it done. Everyone had a great time.
But how many batches of dough did you
make? I made 10 recipes.
10 recipes. So how many pounds or kilos of dough?
Oh, jeez, I have no idea.
It was a ton.
I have no idea. It made 50 pizzas.
And the buckets you put them in, they were like exploding out over the top when they were rising. It was absolutely incredible. That was really fun. And what else?
The garden is in full produzione. We are producing beans and tomatoes and potatoes and everything. The green beans are kind of getting overwhelming.
Oh, my God. When you pick them, you have to, like, lift up all the leaves and look underneath and stuff because those beans hide.
They're everywhere.
And there's a ton, and the plants are still flowering, so we're going to get a ton out of it.
The day, the 14th of August, the day before Ferragosto, we got a huge rainstorm, and it brought with it a, like, a mold fungus to my tomato plants and everyone's tomato plants in the valley.
Everyone.
We tried putting the, Clotilia bordelaise, which is this little microorganism that you spray on that eats the...
I think you've talked about that.
I probably have talked about it. It's a little animal. It's a microorganism. You spray it on, and he eats the mold on the plants. But I don't know. They're not looking very good. It's a freaking shame. That's a ton of work down the tubes if they don't come out.
The corn looks fantastic, but we don't know when to pick it.
I don't care about the corn. The tomatoes are our main thing.
Oh,
I know.
Because we need to start jarring.
We need to start jarring. We have, I mean, we still have tomatoes. It's not like all the plants are dead, but they just, I can't believe what happens in one day, in one night.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. But
and for the whole valley.
The whole valley. So it's not just mine, it's just, but that doesn't make it any less painful.
And it's time, well, I'll have to make the pickled green beans
mm-hmm.
that I do, and you were doing the almond green bean salad. That was so good.
I think those green beans just need to be blanched in boiling water and then sauteed in a little bit of olive oil and garlic.
Oh my God, they're delicious.
That's all you need. In fact, I think I'm going to make that instead of salad tonight. Everyone seems to really dig it.
Everyone's totally digging it.
Okay. All right, so we'll change the menu for pizza night tonight. No salad with our pizza. We'll do green beans and olive oil and garlic.
Nice. The chickens are crazy, and they are producing about 10 to 12 eggs a day.
And ruining all the flower pots.
Oh my God, they have so much space, but where do they want to scratch up the flower pots? They've ruined all these climbing vines I have. And some of the new ones who are laying, they keep laying in, like, just the yard around the house. So people will come and break it. I found one in the middle of the yard yesterday.
Did you another one?
Mm-hmm.
They're stupid.
I know. But
what
do you think will start to slaughter them?
I don't know.
Are the roosters?
Whenever we have a chance. I don't know. I like those two roosters.
I know.
We've named our two roosters. There's a white one and a...
That's Foghorn Leghorn.
That's Foghorn Leghorn. And there's a red one with black tail feathers and he's Rooster T.
Rooster T.
Rooster T feathers.
No! Feathers is implied. You don't have to say it. It then becomes cheesy and cliched. But Rooster T is just kind of cool. What else?
Last weekend, we went to the Festival di Pinocchio.
I think so.
Pinocchio. Corn Cob, the Festival of the Corn Cob. And there was a palio in Piobico, kind of like a rodeo where they have to race around kind of barrels two times and grab a flag in the middle.
But honestly, not nearly as exciting.
Really as exciting. Not as exciting. And they charged you €4 to go in to see that. And not to be cheap, but no one ever charges you to go to these festivals. You go to the festival, and you eat and drink, and yes, you pay for that. But the only time we've paid is when there's this huge kind of...
Like the whole town is redone.
Redone. So, Piobico.
Like old style.
Piobico, if you're going to charge... Make it worth my while.
All right.
I'll pay.
All right. However, the food was pretty good that night. We had polenta from Franchino.
Mm-hmm.
That was delicious. Sausages, always a hit. We saw a bunch of the hunters there grilling and everything in the back. I'm going to post it on the blog. I haven't done it yet. And it was fun, though. It was great just to see everyone and mm-hmm. say hi and just hang out with the neighbors and everything.
On the blog, asking to explain... what the visa process is like to get permission to come to Italy to
daunting.
Work. it's frustrating. It'll be your first taste of
bureaucracy,
the Italian bureaucracy. So get used to it. You just kind of have to roll with the punches. You go online and find out which visa office is, which consulate office is closest to you, and there should be a list of documents on there that you'll need, which you should probably pay no attention to because they'll change 4 or 5 times.
Mm-hmm. But this was really important to us because we wanted to make sure we were living here legally as well.
Of course, we're not just lying.
No, I know, and have a self-employed visa, so it's like, oh my gosh.
So first you have to go and get all these documents, your fingerprints from the FBI, your
Just lots of old letters from towns you lived in that you weren't a criminal, to having things like our marriage license apostilled, which means that then it's internationally recognized with stamps and seals.
From the Secretary of State of your state.
If you're from the States.
If you're from the States, yeah.
But the Italians love stamps and signatures and seals. So the more you can get on that of your papers, the better. I don't know if they even read it, but they just like to see it.
They do. They love that. And also
put it on nice paper.
Yeah, everything you put everything on really nice paper and really nice folders. We found out the nicer the thing is that you hand them the paper in that.
This is nice. Classy phone.
So the first time we made an appointment, and that's another daunting task. You make an appointment at the office, and it could be anywhere from 6 weeks to 6 months later. So we went in to check in. We weren't really ready to move out to the States yet, to Italy yet, but we wanted to show them the documents we had
and see what we needed.
See what we still needed. And we did that, and that went pretty well.
I would recommend this. I mean, we dressed up, it had the La Bella Figura, you wear nice clothes and make a nice, good impression, and make it hard for them to say no.
And then after we returned from our last trip to Italy, and it was maybe 6 weeks later, we were going to move.
Like when we had come out here on our last trip, that was. Boxes were packed, things were on a ship to come out here from New York, and we just returned to New York so we could get our visa.
And we had an appointment, we made an appointment probably 6-8 weeks in advance. The appointment was for like 5 or 7 days before we were ready to leave, so it gave them a chance to process our final visa application. We've been talking to them, everything seemed cool.
And then we call... Or something happens.
I think we called to confirm our...
Yeah, and they said no. They've canceled our reservation with them, our meeting with them, because there's too many students trying to get visas, because it was in December, for going to, like, Florence to study abroad. And that was probably the only time I almost lost it through the whole process of moving, because I thought, oh my God, we've come this far, and now they're just going to cancel our appointment right before we're supposed to leave, like days before. And we contacted Fabio, who is our commercialista, and kind of just all around, well, after this, saint, and he contacted the...
He wrote a nasty letter to the Consulate General.
Basically saying that if he doesn't meet with us and they don't approve our visa, it will...
Well, not approve our visa, but how could you do this? You know, these young Americans have held up there and you've canceled their appointment. All these Italians are expecting them to be here.
And he worked so hard as well to help us get the right documents to move here. And he said... If you don't meet with them to at least look at this, you will be shaming your mother. That's kind of pulling out all the punches if you're going to pull that card. So he wrote us an email too saying, I could be sued
over this. Yeah, I could be arrested over this. But, hey, I'll give it to him. The next morning at 9 a.m., we had an appointment to go get our visas.
I couldn't believe it. He called some special Italian-only number or something because we'd been calling all these numbers. Oh, my God, we can't get our visa appointment. And... when we walked in the next morning.
So we walked in the next morning, we dressed up, suit and tie and nice dress and everything. You know, you have to have the Bella Figura. And, the lady calls us up and she obviously knows exactly who we are because it was the woman Sassy, like the head person in charge of the visa department. And, she came over and we brought up our book of freaking documents that we've probably spent several thousand dollars collecting and a good 8 months of our lives putting together. We go to hand her the book. She says, nope, don't want any of it. Just give me your passports. And 15 minutes later, we had a visa in our passport.
We ran out. Go, don't let them change their mind. So then you hear absolute horror stories where people get denied and all of this, but you never know. And having an Italian on your side does not hurt because they know how to work the system enough to make sure you get seen. But she sure as hell knew who we were when we walked up to that office that day.
But I think that most of the stories about getting a visa to Italy are something along these lines.
It's kind of by luck or chance.
By luck or chance, or there's a good story. So,
We've heard that it's near impossible to get this kind of visa as well. We've gotten lots of emails saying, how can you even how did you even get it?
And the only thing I can tell you is work the system. You have to somehow work it. Either find a commercialista, which is like a tax accountant, business manager, someone here.
Oh, yeah. And remember how I was writing the emails wrong?
Oh, yeah. We were writing the emails to him and putting them through a translator on a Babelfish.
When I saw that we were canceled, I thought, oh, I'll be Italian, too. And I'll say, I beg of you. And you get very dramatic and whatnot. Well, it ends up, Fabio told us that it looked, the way the translator put it was that we were street beggars.
We were begging. We were beggars on the street begging them for.
He was like, oh my god, Ashley, I'm not a street beggar.
So, to wrap up the story, I guess, anyone who's looking to get your visa, do a little research, try to work it, and figure out the way to navigate through that office, wherever that office is in your area. Good luck to that.
Well, and on that same note, the visa then was valid for a year, and we have to get it renewed each year.
No, we don't get the visa's good for
I'm
a
sorry,
year.
Not the visa.
We had to register within 14 days of coming to Italy, register our passports with the local Carabinieri. And then they issue your permesso di soggiorno, permission to stay, which is a whole other story in itself. So the visa kind of gets you in the door and allows you to get all these other documents, your carta sanitaria, your health card, your carta di identità, your identity card. So we can make a whole other one on our permission to stay, which is another wonderful story.
More bureaucracy and offices. And stamps, of course.
Stamps. Well, this time, then you have to get the Marco di Bolo.
I know.
Like,
well, wait, just on the side note, remember the last time we just went and that guy stamped one piece of paper about 12 times and I was just dying?
He got out, like, the stamp briefcase, like the seldom used one.
And he, like, got up to go into the other room. Everything was very methodical and slow to look for other stamps. Oh my gosh, I've got pastries in the oven and chickens to
pastries.
Let out. I've got to run.
All right,
I'll
wrap it up. Okay, wrapping it up. Oh, blackberries, the Frutti di Bosco are all over the road, Via Cavigliano. See people out there picking them every day. Truffle hunters have started to come out for the black truffles. Word on the street, word on the mean streets of Piovico is that they'll be good. It's still a tiny, maybe a week or two early, but we see truffle hunters coming around, training the dogs. Lots of dogs getting trained in the fields in the hills. We hear the boar hunters, like, shouting at their dogs. Hunting season doesn't open till the 1st or the 2nd, I believe, of September. But everyone's got a... Everyone's back in training mode, so soon enough, we'll be hearing shotgun blasts every morning. But it definitely feels like the days are getting on their way to getting shorter again, and fall is creeping in. I can't wait. It's always fun when a new season comes around. I've had my fill of summer, but it's fun. I love a new season, and fall always reminds me of football, even though I can't watch a single play of it. So everyone out there who's listening who's a football fan, enjoy it for me in spirito. Anyway, thank you very much for listening to our podcast. It was lovely having you to take a couple minutes out of your day. You can reach us at our blog. Check out our blog, www.latavolamarche, M-A-R-C-H-E is Marche, .blogspot.com. Email us at info@latavolamarche.com or our website at www.latavolamarche.com. In any case, if you're probably hearing this website, you know where to find us already. Keep the comments and questions, what you like, what you want to hear coming. And thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you guys in another couple of weeks. Enjoy the rest of your day.